It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Is our understanding and practice of worship eroding? To erode means to destroy gradually, wear out, gnaw away. It's the action that over time grinds down huge mountains. So, is your understanding and practice of worship being destroyed gradually, worn down, or gnawed away? Before I give you six ways in which the erosion of worship can be reversed, let me tell you about a box set of music that was loaned to me once. The title of the box set was The Best of Live Worship. My response was, "You've got to be kidding." How can this three-disc set of mediocre modern American Christian music be the best of live worship? First, I questioned how recorded music could be live, but I let that go. Second, I wondered, how could it be the best, and whose opinion? What about the myriads around the throne of Revelation 4 and 5? Or what about the community of God's people singing the Psalms? For that matter, what about Handel's Messiah? Had this music producer considered other centuries, other cultures, or other media? I let that go too as a bit of marketing hyperbole, salesman's puffing, if you will. Third was the real question. Is this worship? What on earth are we doing to worship? How we use language is important. George Orwell, the author of the novel 1984, also wrote an essay called Politics in the English Language. In it, he criticizes the misuse and corruption of words. Here's an excerpt from Orwell's essay. Quote, "Defenseless villages are bombarded from the air, the inhabitants driven out into the countryside, the cattle machine-gunned, the huts set on fire with incendiary bullets. This is called pacification," end quote. We can think of numerous examples of the corruption of words in our current events. One that I came across recently was post-conception contraception, in place of the word abortion, the killing of an unborn child. Just as in Orwell's case, the corrupting of language allowed for the hiding of atrocities. When we corrupt the meaning of words, we corrupt ideas, and we will suffer the consequences. Are we, as modern North American Christians, corrupting our words about worship, with the result that we are corrupting our understanding and practice of true worship? How do we normally use the word worship? In my experience, many, if not most, modern Western Christians have reduced the word worship to Christian music. That's what the producers of the best of live worship seem to have done. Then the worship leader refers to some person who leads the music, and the worship team is a group that sings or otherwise performs music. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know worship can and does include God exalting music. But when we use the word worship predominantly, if not exclusively, for Christian music, are we not eroding the biblical concept of worship? What is worship? In previous podcasts, we explored some of the biblical language for worship. Bowing down as a way to express our complete dependence on and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Irresistible attraction, intention with wholesome fear. Serving as worship in the context of Romans chapter 12. This week, I've been reading and thinking about Worship and Community in the Triune God of Grace, a book written by James Torrance. In it, the author describes worship as the gift of participating through the Spirit in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father. This definition is consistent with my understanding of what the Bible says about worship, an understanding that cannot be limited to music, but can include music. For that matter, it cannot be reduced to experience historical events such as the crucifixion or theology such as atonement either. For example, if theology becomes the end or goal of our worship, then we are not worshiping God as such, we're worshiping a theology about God. Bible scholar Gordon Fee makes this point clearly when he writes, "The proper aim of all true theology is doxology. Theology that does not begin and end in worship is not biblical at all, but is rather the product of Western philosophy." If worship is reduced to music, or experience, or memory of historical events, or theology, then our worship is not only eroded, it's in danger of being counterfeit. What about you? Let's consider adding Torrance's definition to our understanding of worship. That definition again, the gift of participating through the Spirit in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father. Briefly, here are six ways of intentionally testing and adjusting how we think and speak about worship. The purpose is to reverse the erosion of worship. 1. Worship is active. Worship is not passive. It is the activity of participating with God. What are you actively doing as you engage with God in worship? 2. Worship is responsive. God is the initiator. It is through the Spirit in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father. So how are you responding to the initiative of God? 3. Worship is about the one true God who has revealed and is revealing himself as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the unique center of worship. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess, Hebrews 3 verse 1. How do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the center of your worship? 4. Our worship leader is Jesus Christ alone. In Greek, a worship leader is a leitorgos, the minister or servant in the sanctuary. In Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ is our leitorgos, our worship leader. In turn, all the people of God are to be the worship team, if you will. Is this nudging us toward a more biblical use and practice of our worship language? If you use the term worship leader or worship team in the context of your church's music, I would encourage you to stop. Instead, use terms such as music leader or music team, if you must. But do not use language that unwittingly limits and erodes our understanding and practice of worship. 5. Worship takes place within community. The triune God is, in essence, community. We, not simply I, are invited to participate in that community with others. How are you participating in worship within your Jesus community, your church fellowship? 6. As we have been learning, worship is engaging our whole being and our whole life. Worship is not to be reduced to a one-hour Sunday morning religious event. It is about all of life. Worship is the gift of participating through the Spirit in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.